This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by my two personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up now for the World Series for Penn State, Wisconsin, whatever game you have to be watching this weekend. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to be joined from The Athletic, Audrey Snyder. Audrey, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today.
Good to be with you, Steve. Happy Thursday.
Yeah, okay, great to be with you. All right, let's get rolling with what you've seen through six games. Let's start with Drew Aller at quarterback. What are the differences that you're seeing in him at quarterback as a second-year starter compared to the guy that you saw a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, the confidence is noticeable, right? I think you look at Drew, the way he's leading the offense, right? He's much more demonstrative. That was apparent at West Virginia, and that's carried through in all the games since then. Like, that leadership part, right? So much of what we were talking, writing about this offseason was, how does Drew Aller become that vocal leader, right? Well, we're seeing it, and he's doing it week in and week out. So I think you got the intangible piece, right? This offense is putting him in a position to succeed. Like, I think we have to highlight that and the job that Andy Kotelnicki has done. But you also have to credit Drew for taking advantage of it and spending the offseason getting his body ready to understand that he was going to have to be more mobile, right? That's been another big theme in that this first half of the season, is he's been extending plays with his legs, and that's really helped the offense thrive too. So I think it's the creativity, it's Aller's confidence and demeanor, but it's also the fact that he's been able to extend plays. And, oh, yeah, they're willing to push the ball down the field more, Steve, too. That one's important as well.
Yeah, that's been a big plus, the ability to push it downfield. Look, every time you turn around, it feels like they're in a different formation. They may be running the same plays, but they're in a different formation. What does that mean for teams to prepare for Penn State, that they had to get ready for the various formations of where the ball might be going?
It's got to be a headache. I think one of the interesting things that Tom Allen mentioned last week during the Idle Week, he was asked about Tyler Warren, and he said, listen, I am just glad that I no longer have to coach against this guy. That he said, when he got to Penn State this winter, Tyler Warren was one of the first guys that Tom Allen found and said, hey, I think you and Theo Johnson were both the two best tight ends last year in the conference, and I'm glad I don't have to scheme against you. And that's the challenge, right? They show all these different looks, but I think the important part is, you know, and I've heard of a lot since the Tyler Warren touchdown against USC, people like, oh, look at this trick play, look at this gimmick. Like, this is also what this offense is, right? Like, it's not gimmicky. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what the offense is. This is what they practice. These are plays that they complete on a high percentage at practice, which is why they're running them in games. But, yeah, it's got to be an absolute nightmare for defenses, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think you're seeing it from different players, right? You've seen it from Harrison Wallace, from Amari Evans, obviously Tyler Warren. You're seeing Vengo Wane delivering some crazy blocks, right? At some point, I think he's probably going to get the ball this year, Steve, I would imagine, right? That would be crazy if it happens. But, yeah, if you're a defensive coordinator, I just – don't know what you do. And at some point we always hear like, oh, it's like you're chasing ghosts. I'm sure there are a lot of DCs that probably feel that way when they're prepping for Penn State.
And just so everybody knows, and I've pointed this out before, it's not like Tyler Warren did not snap a ball in the game last year. He did. On the 2-point conversion against Michigan, he did.
That's right. So yeah, good catch, Steve. That's right.
I sit in a pretty – I have a good seat. I can see things. But So, I mean, that's happened before. But let's flip it to Tom Allen for a moment since you brought that up. For 8.5 months, he planned on how he wanted to play. And that included K.J. Winston at safety. And then what he wanted to do with Jalen Reed. What does it say about his ability to adjust and the defensive coaching staff's ability to adjust? Because after planning to play one way for 8.5 months, they had to adjust.
It's huge. I mean, I think that is a storyline that maybe gets lost a little bit in this season because everybody looks at it and like, yeah, the defense is still playing really well, and people have been spoiled because they've played so well for so long here. But, yeah, I mean, that's a significant adjustment. Like, you lost one of the best safeties in college football. And because of that, you've had to get younger at the position. And I think, too, another part of that is the communication piece that's gone on with all of this, too. And I'm talking, like, the headset, sideline communication with Tom Allen going up in the box and Dan Connor being on the sideline, but also losing K.J. Winston on the field, right? Like, there's that assignment piece as well. And so Jalen Reed has stepped up and has stepped up in a big way. But, yeah, no doubt about it to me, Steve, is, like, people have been spoiled by the defense of the defense playing well for the most part, you know, realistically. And I think you kind of look at it, and it's almost easy sometimes to forget that you do not have one of your best players on the field in Winston. And that is, like, a crazy good compliment because they're really showcasing their depth and talent in that secondary, too.
What have you thought about the adjustment of Abdul Carter to defensive end?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see him really heat up right now. I think the second half of the season is going to be really fun to watch with Carter and just all the different ways. Again, I mean, teams are trying to get rid of the ball quickly. When you've got an Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter, that's what's going to happen. These guys can both still take over a game at any moment, right? We've seen it. I think we're going to continue to see it. And one of the points that Denai brought up this week, talking after practice Wednesday night, was that the level of physicalness, the physicality in practice going against this offensive line, he said that's something that's really helped them throughout the offseason of knowing that, hey, we're going to be really physical out here. We're going to get after it. And I think you look at it, I mean, you've got the best edge rusher duo in the country. And I think now it's about continuing to move Abdul around and find those creative ways to line him up. And let's not underscore the job that Zane Durant's done either. Like, that's been really significant, really impressive, just the quick twitch, explosiveness. I mean, the man is built, Steve. He is a physical specimen. And I think, again, people don't often want to talk about defensive tackles, but this is a guy that, you know, we're going to see playing on Sundays at some point for sure.
Well, he's built in such a way, Audrey, where he has automatic leverage. I mean, he gets underneath players because of how he's built.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when he got here, Steve, like, it was one of the most interesting things that winter and spring, I mean, the coaching staff was raving about him, and it's like, oh, okay, like, a true freshman defensive tackle, like, it's rare, but also that's a lot to ask for a young guy to see the field so early. And he really has been one of the marquee players on this defense that I think the second half of the season we're going to continue to see and hear more about him. But, yeah, he has done a superb job.
Right. So now you mentioned the dynamic duos, talking about Denai Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter. Back to offense, and it's Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton. Last couple of games have been okay running the ball. But early on, they had a lot of explosive plays out of those two guys. I want to start with Singleton. His ability to become a better pass catcher, what has that meant to opening up the offense?
Yeah, it's meant a ton. I mean, I think you look at it, right? The guy's now on a building in State College, right? The Gatorade banner is hanging down. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, Steve, but it's out there. It's large. But, yeah, I mean, his abilities are insane. I mean, this is someone who, again, you talk about living up to potential as a recruit, and I think it's so important when you think about this season and how so much has been geared up for this year for a long time with Drew Aller, with Abdul Carter, with Singleton and Allen as well, and, you know, among others. But you're seeing it, right? You're seeing these guys thrive in this offense. I still think, you know, we're going to see Singleton bust a big kick return at some point soon, too, right? Like, if that opportunity is there, I think we're going to see it. But, yeah, you've got such like a plethora of options to work with if you're Andy Kotelnicki that, again, I don't know what you do to try and slow some of these guys down. And if you say, okay, yeah, we're going to give Nick Singleton a breather here, well, in comes Catron Allen, and he's going to try to run you over and run through you and just bring a really different style. But that physical style is something that we've seen Nick also incorporate into his game as well, because both of those guys have spent a ton of time in the offseason trying to kind of play off of each other and help one another out.
Yeah, and then the offensive line, you lose a first-round pick, you lose a fourth-round pick, you lose a fifth-round pick. Why does it seem like they're playing better?
Phil Troutline, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the job that he has done to remake, rebuild, reconstruct, however you want to say it, that room is remarkable. And I think you look at it and you say, they have depth, they have talent, and hey, Nolan Rushi's going back to Wisconsin this week. He's a guy that, you know, I think we've seen in spurts, of course, and that's just part of that depth and that versatility that you have up front. Like, I think that is another element to why this offense is working and why it's working so well, is that because you have such a good offensive line, and a line that really, Steve, has been good the last few years. And I mean, I know there were so many years early on in James's tenure for multiple reasons why, you know, the line was in shambles and they were trying to rebuild it after the sanctions. And like, when you take that and you think about where it was 5-6 years ago and then even where it is right now, I mean, it is a crazy impressive trajectory. You look at a guy like Cooper Cousins and the fact that they've been able to get him on the field as a true freshman. I think they are well stocked for years to come up front too. Like, that's, I think, maybe the scary part. And, you know, Phil Troutline is a massive reason for this success.
I alluded to Jalen Reed when talking about KJ Winston. Some guys, it's amazing how some guys maybe nationally go under the radar. What value do you put on Reed in this defense when you watch him play?
A lot. I mean, that West Virginia game, that was like the showcase game, right? This is, to me, it's just interesting the ways in which his skill set can be used. And we're hearing more about him, you know, emerging more as a leader and as one of those vocal guys on the defense and helping the younger guys in the meeting room, like all that other stuff that's super important and valuable. But yeah, this is a guy that is playing his best football right now, right? And that's what you want. I mean, I think this is, and that's not a knock on earlier in his career by any stretch. Like, this is someone who continues to find ways to get better. And you talk about the small margins, right? And how can you get better? Well, for him, it's been this versatile role, and how can you use him and use him in different ways? To me, it has been such a smart move, but also, like, when he's been needed to bump back over to safety because of, you know, the injuries, it's like, okay, he's going to go and he's going to do it, right? Like, there's no moping, there's no whatever. This is a team guy who's going to go out there and do what you need him to do to get the job done. So I think you have a lot of guys like that, I think, on this defense where it's like, hey, you want me to play here? You want me to bounce around? You want me to do X, Y, and Z? Mm-hmm. They're going to do it. And I think that, you know, really speaks to the culture here and what they've built and why I think this defense keeps succeeding year after year.
Because James is not a guy that, when they recruit a linebacker, for example, they're looking for a guy that can play multiple spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kobe King's not that guy, yet they still recruited him anyway. What have you seen in his development?
Yeah, Steve, that's like, I think if you're drawing up a middle linebacker, right, he's going to look like Kobe King, right? And I remember, you know, when he was being recruited and early on in his career here, the guy's got the leadership capability. He's got the middle linebacker demeanor, the, hey, I'm going to get guys in the right place and they're going to listen to me because I know my assignment and I know everybody else's assignment. And that's just instrumental in that position and being that leader and one of those leaders on the defense. To me, that's been huge. And, you know, I think when we think back to last year, and some of these decisions for guys to return for another season, right? Like, you look at the defensive line of those guys. You know, you also look at a guy like Kobe King, and you say, yeah, these guys are back for a reason, and that reason is to catapult them into that next season, and they have elevated their game, right? Those guys that have come back for that next year, they've taken that next step. And that's not always a given, right? Whether it's injuries, whatever it might be, that doesn't always happen. But credit to Kobe and for so many of those players that they've really kind of found ways to take that next step, even with a new DC too.
Wisconsin's won three in a row. And in looking back, you really feel like there were three games they should have won in a row coming in. What is your thought on Wisconsin now in October as opposed to what you may have thought of Wisconsin in September?
Yeah, I thought they were down and out, like so many after Alabama, right? You lose your quarterback, it is looking really bad. Their defense has been remarkable. They've stepped it up. I think also you look at the offense and you say, okay, with a backup quarterback, what are you going to be able to do? You're right, Steve, though. This was like the soft part of their schedule. These are three games that you should win, and they did. They also did so handily, right? So I think that gives them some confidence. And you say, okay, Phil Longo, like you want to, you know, you want to spread the ball around, and you're showing that you can do that. But they're going to have to rely on defense and special teams, I think, to try and, you know, somehow, some way pull an upset. I don't think they're going to do it. But for me, like, that's kind of the recipe for them to attempt to do it because they do have a really good defense that I think is going to be creative. And they've made some significant plays on special teams, too. Even, like, last week at Northwestern, there were some big moments. So, yeah, that plus, you know, that atmosphere out there, Steve. You know Camp Randall and a night game, people tailgating all day. They're going to be fired up. The atmosphere is going to be great, right? Like, it's going to be loud. There's going to be a ton of crowd noise. Like, it's going to be fun for college football. Yeah. But, yeah, for me, that is, like, that's kind of their recipe, right? Like, it's going to have to be defense. You're going to have to swing a couple plays on special teams to try and maybe steal a possession that way or something.
Are you indicating that it tailgating – there might be a flow of beverages? Is this what you're guessing at here?
You know, as you say this, this reminds me, Steve, if anyone's listening that's going to the game, I believe something I read in the summer is that they now will serve alcohol in Camp Randall. So you have it outside, you have it inside, night game. Yeah, it is one of the craziest Big Ten atmospheres for sure, one of the most fun. You would know this better than I do because you're at practice much more than we are, but Wednesday night, it felt like they were just blasting Jump Around almost on a loop. I mean, I could hear it in my car in the parking lot. My ears were hurt, and it was like, come on. Was that your experience?
It's like that. But, like, Wednesday, for example, during stretch, they played country music. I looked at somebody. I said, you know what? I said, not number one on my list. I said, but I said, for the moment, I've had my fill of Jump Around. So I said, I'll take it. When the Big Ten was in divisions, you could look at the respective races. How different is it looking at a Big Ten that is 1 through 18? And are some things getting lost in the shuffle because it is 1 through 18?
It is different. I mean, it is still bizarre when you're looking at it, you're going through stuff and you're parsing it like I was doing Big Ten power rankings this week, and you're looking at it and you're like, okay, where do we slot in? Well, Oregon's pretty obvious at the top, but what about Washington? Like, you're just looking at it and it is different, and I still want to dig into more of the miles and the travel piece, and are we still overblowing this, or is there really something to it that it's obviously it's annoying and it's time consuming and all these things, and maybe what best practices have we learned? But it's still funny to me when you're looking at it and you're like, oh, who's the Big Ten's best offensive player? And you're like, oh, yeah, Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. And you're like, wait, this doesn't make sense. Like, it's still taking a lot to wrap my mind around what this conference looks like. But I will say, since it's, like, fresh in my mind, the USC experience was really cool. I mean, it was really fun. The Coliseum was awesome. I had never been there before. So, like, I think and I hope fans appreciate the opportunity to see these other venues. Like, I'm sure, you know, Washington fans that make the trip to Penn State for the whiteout next week, like, that's going to be really cool for them. And it's a lot to wrap your head around, though. It is pretty weird, but, like, these new atmospheres, new experiences have been really neat.
Yeah, the travel part, you can make too much of it. And the only reason I say is, like, I don't think you want, like, I'm talking about the players. I don't think you want them to think about it too much. Just get on the plane, let's go. Because the trip back was 4:18, something like that. No offense, that's about the bus ride from Rutgers.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, as somebody who lives this for football and basketball, okay, it's like, okay. Audrey, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. I enjoyed it very much.
You got it. Likewise, Steve. Take care.
Audrey Snyder from The Athletic. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the World Series and the big weekend now here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Fall has arrived, and so has Mahindra's fall sales event. Get more power, more toughness, and more savings. Like 0% for 84 months on the all-new 1100 series, 2100 series, and more. Or get up to $4,000 cash back on select models. Now's the time to bring home a Mahindra, the official tractor of tough.
Save on Mahindra tractors at Hilly Ridge Sales and Service in Mount Pleasant Mills and Elysburg Road in Danville. Online at hillyridge.com.